But I, when I say I intend it to be short, anyway. Here's how I'm titling this to start. When the hypocrites watch you, okay? When the hypocrites watch you. Today when I was reading my Bible, reading in the Gospels presently, and what I'm about to say would be true in any of the four Gospels, you will notice how frequently the Pharisees confront Christ about something that they saw. They saw him do this. They saw him do that. They even accused him through his disciples. And in that day, would eat with publicans and sinners. And so the point is, they saw Jesus. And what they saw, as they watched him, they confronted him about it. So we are watched by hypocrites. Unlike Christ, he never did wrong. We do wrong. My point is, we're being watched. If hypocrites watched Jesus, whom they could not catch literally not doing anything wrong, but wrong by their perceptions, just like people who watch you. They may feel you've done something wrong by their perception of what ought to be. And again, I realize sometimes as Christians, we do things wrong. And the hypocrite watches to just jump on that. And when we've done wrong, we need to admit it and then change. But the point is, we are being watched, and therefore we need to be sure that we are, as I said, we're playing our A game, that we are doing our best and doing right. Now, the next thing that I have, vertical or horizontal living, which is it? Okay, actually, it's a little bit of both. But there's times when, as we go through life, there's things we see, there's things we observe, and we realize that, well, how do I explain this? How do I deal with this? Well, I'm going to ask my friend. I'm going to go online and see what I can find about this. You've heard it said already, the best teacher in the world is hunger. Or maybe you've heard it, the best teacher in the world is cancer. Or the best teacher in the world is a heartache or a brokenness. Too often we tend to go through life looking this way and that way, horizontally, when what we need to be doing is looking vertically. Do we live horizontally or vertically? Obviously, there's some help to be gained from friends when we're going through a difficult situation. There are things that we can learn from another person. As a matter of fact, Paul says that we are comforted in our sorrow so that we may comfort another. So there's something to be gained from others. But you know, the ultimate answers is not in a horizontal line of observation, but a vertical one. God is the one who is able to give us what we need. And so we need to look up and find from him what we need and not from others. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. To you, I expect a familiar verse of scripture. Perhaps not as familiar to some young Christians in the sense of person newly saved, or young chronologically, but a very familiar to, I'm sure, the majority of us, Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's the place you go in prayer, unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace to help in time of need. It comes from God Almighty. It comes from a vertical. You can't get this from another person. Another person, however helpful they may be, and they may be helpful, but however helpful they are, they cannot show us mercy or give us grace in time of need.
That's right.
Psalms, Psalm 50. In Psalm 50, verse 14 and 15, along this line of thinking. Psalm 50 and verse 14. 50 and 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. And what's the promise? I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Now, you can't just go to God. Okay, I got a problem. Oh, Lord, help me. No, it says offer unto God thanksgiving and pay our vows to the Most High. What is it? What was that a year ago that we promised God we'd do? Was it to daily read our Bible? Was it to talk to at least one person a month about Jesus Christ? What was it that we promised God we'd do? Well, he says here, we need to offer God thanksgiving. We need to pay our vows, whatever it was. Doesn't matter how long ago it was we promised it. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. You notice it's a colon then, so the thought continues. It's after you do 14 that you can call upon him in the day of trouble. You can't use verse 15 until you use verse 14.
That's right.
We want to cherry pick verses out of the Bible. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. And there's something else that's going to come out of that. And thou shalt glorify me. You're not only going to get delivered, but God says he wants you to use that deliverance to glorify him, to lift up his name, to tell folks how good God is. Oh, well, everybody at church, they know how good God is. They know what God did for me. Yeah, but God wants to hear you tell them. Vertical living, not just horizontal. Sometimes us Christians are great at horizontal living, but God wants us to do vertical living with it. Psalm 54 and verse 4 also speaks in this respect. Psalm 54 verse 4, behold, sit up and pay attention. Now that's a very loose paraphrase of behold. God is mine helper. God is mine helper. Oh, that we can get to a point in our life where we can say that. God is our helper. So significant. Now, my next thoughts that I'm going to share, and you see, each of these is really in somewhat of a different way. There's times where I have taken such a message like tonight and called it potpourri. You know, a little of this and a little of that. Well, I read this in Facebook and printed it off. Okay. You see, some people, pastor gets his messages from Ruth Ann. Okay.
That's right.
Well, at least the ones that don't go right. Yeah. Those who know. I never heard him say, I got this message from Sister Ruth Ann when it goes real well. Yeah. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure she has. But anyway, I found this. And boy, I hope it speaks as much to you as it did to me. Tonight I walked in from the store with my arms full and a brand new candle in my bag. As I struggled to get it all on the counter, one bag dropped and I heard the glass break. My brand new candle was ruined as the glass shattered. Frustrated, I was ready to throw the whole thing away. My husband by now knew what was taking place, and so he came into the kitchen and he refused to let me throw it all away. It will still light. It will still serve its purpose, he stated. Immediately, I began to argue back. But it's broken and ugly and the glass is everywhere. It's just not the same. I walked away, and when I came back, he had placed the candle on the counter and lit the wick. Immediately, I was drawn to the light. How often do we do this in our own lives or with others? Things don't turn out the way we want them to. Plans fail, dreams shatter, goals hit the floor, people break our hearts, and we're ready to throw the whole thing in the trash. Even though it can still light, still shine, still bring the fragrance of goodness, it just may not be pretty or packaged the way that we wanted or imagined. Tonight, may we all be reminded that even in the brokenness, there is still goodness and purpose and light. We simply must be willing to not throw it all away and allow redemption to take place. There are times that our life will simply speak a little louder and impact even more people when we're willing to allow the broken places in our life and the story of our life to shine for others to see and understand. Amen. Do you feel sometimes like a broken candle? Do you feel sometimes like the whole jar has been shattered and therefore useless? Consider what this husband did. He picked up what was there. It would still light. It did still shine. My friend, God is able to take your life. A songwriter wrote, he's able to pick up the broken pieces and put them together again. And your light can shine for him. Will you let it? Don't wallow in the cesspool of self-pity. Amen. Allow God to give the grace of redemption. Father in heaven, we know that we're not able. And we know that our dreams about what we would like and what we wish would have been the case. You only want to get us down. Lord, you've come to lift us up. You've come, dear Father, to let others see the light of Jesus Christ in us. And Father, even as the Pharisees and the scribes did complain and criticize Jesus, he did take people whose lives needed to be put together. As a matter of fact, Father, I remember in one place where he said, I've not come to call the sinners or to call the righteous, but to call sinners to redemption of Jesus.
Father, that's what we want. So use us, glorify yourself through us, I pray.